Amen. And amen. The song said it's time to praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody come ready to praise God today? Let me ask that question again. Anybody come ready to praise God today? And now let me ask another question. Anybody got something to praise God for? Well, then we ought to be giving God some praise. Amen. For he is worthy to be praised. Has he not been good? Oh, my God is a good God. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come down to say thank you, Master. Thank you for your presence. For we can't do anything without your presence. If we're going to walk right, talk right, act right, be right, then you must be here. So we come to say thank you for your presence, for it is needed. Because we are your children. And Master, we are learning from you. We're growing because we know of you. And we pray that we continue to grow while we're here, so that we can continue to be better for the kingdom of God. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 404.
Yeah. effort to strive to honor their memory by being good and faithful sums it up in conclusion with a tribute and song by Stephen Crum. Happy and safe Memorial Day to us all.
My heart be breath, 3
soul is being stirred by our music selections this morning. Praise God. Really touching. Thank you, Brother Crumb, so much. Weekly announcements. Please get all announcements in no later than Thursday morning of each week as we move through these summer months. Our moderator invites you to pay close attention to the one call for important messages. This is how we'll communicate with everyone. Happy summer. Our thought for the week, be encouraged. Amen. In those times when we are challenged, yes, or tragedy befalls us, yes, seek, yes, quiet time with God. Yes. Listen for God's direction. Ask God for his strength to get you through the challenge. Yes. Our God is Jehovah Shalom and Jehovah Jireh. God is our peace and our provider. Go forth with God's grace.
Thank you. my first time being at this pulpit. Y'all don't mind if a person get happy, do you? Amen. Guide my feet while I run this race. Hold my hand while I run this race. Oh, God. Yeah, I almost got loose. Amen. That's what you want as we go to God in prayer. We want him to have a closer walk with us. If you've got him on your side, you got no other problems, because he's working on them. And in due season, he's going to get it done. All we have to do is trust him. So as we go to God in prayer, when you leave here, whatever your situation is, I want you to have a confidence to leave it with God. Just leave it with him, whatever it is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being able to worship and serve a God like you. You're such an awesome God. You keep coming through for us over and over again. And we thank you. You're such a merciful and loving and kind God. Mm-hmm. We're thankful that you have found it okay to come and visit us today. Yes. And we thank you. So God, we ask that you would fill us afresh with your precious Holy Spirit. Yes. Let it overflow, God, so that all of our problems, all of our trials, all of our tribulations, all of our confusions is drowned in our worship with you. But we can't do it without you. We need you for everything. We can't make it without you, and we are happy to say that we can't make it without you. We want you to guide our feet. We want you to guide our tongue. We want you to guide our lives. We thank you that you have not judged us according to our shortcomings, but according to your loving kindness and your tender mercy. So in your mercy, God, walk among each member here today. Walk among everyone that's in our presence. Touch, God. Touch like only you know how to touch. Touch, God, according to the need. And God, we pray that you would do for us what you did for Peter. Satan would have us to sift us like wheat. But we're thankful that you prayed for him. And your prayer was that his faith failed him not. You're God, you're a doctor in every sick room. You're a mind regulator. Somebody came confused in mind, God. You told us to let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. There was no confusion in him, so God, give us the mind of Christ. God, we're thankful for Gethsemane, God, when even you felt that things was too heavy and you wanted to go back to heaven. Thank you that you said, not my will, but your will be done. So God, in the midst of our trouble, some are sick now. We're praying for healing, God, and you told us to ask for what we will and that you would grant it. But God, help us to align our will with your will. Whatever's happening in our lives, help us to have the faith to say, your will be done, yes, and not ours. You're working everything for our good because we love you and we'll call according to your purpose. So touch now, God. Heal and make whole according to your will. Fix minds according to your will. And when we would have left this place, God, we ask that we would leave it with you, that we leave it at the altar, knowing that you promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Bless the man of God that you planted over here to teach and preach. Bless the word, God, as it come forth. If he doesn't say it right, God, cause us to hear it right. And may it bring fruit, because it's fallen on good ground. And in due season, it will accomplish that that you sent it forth to accomplish. We ask this all in the name of him who died on Calvary, that we might be set free. Even in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, we pray. And every heart said amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. We're going to ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. Father God, we come now to say thank you for these blessings that have been given here today. And Master, we pray that they be used to uplift someone's spirits. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen.
Praise God, all blessings, praise him, all creatures near. feel good, good, good. Down in my soul I feel good. Oh yes, my Lord. Oh, every time I stop and think about my Jesus, I feel good, good, good. Now I went into the valley one day to pray. My soul got happy. I stayed all day. Oh, every time I stop and think about my Jesus, I feel good, good, good. Yeah, I really feel good, good, good. Down in my soul I feel good. Oh, yes, my Lord. Oh, every time I stop and think about my Jesus, I feel good, good, good. Now, I've never been to heaven, but I've been told the streets up there are paved with gold. Oh, every time I stop and think about my Savior, it makes me feel good, good, good. Church, do you feel good, good, good? Feel good, oh yes, my Lord. Oh, every time I stop and think about my Savior, I feel good, good, good. Yeah, I really feel good, good, good. Oh, this morning I feel good, oh yes, my Lord. Oh, every time I stop, think about my Jesus, I feel good, good, good.
Amen. Anybody here feel good? Anybody here feel good? If you feel good, let me see you stand to your feet and give God a hand clap of praise. Because he's been good to you, amen. Come on, boy, let's sing a little bit more of that. Cut that off. Amen. Sometimes you just got to let the Holy Ghost have his way. Amen. You know, sometimes we get so wrapped up into formalities and procedures and processes that we miss the Holy Spirit. And one thing I don't ever be guilty of is quenching the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the Spirit of the Lord say move, you ought to move, because he got something for you in your moving. Somebody ought to hear me today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to still get out here on time. Amen. Amen. I know some of y'all don't want to move because you think the service is going to be longer. Amen. The good thing is I can preach a 3-minute sermon. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. When the Spirit of God moves, move. Tell you, amen. Don't be concerned about Pastor Ross, about how long I'm going to preach. Amen. Amen. Because we're going to still get out of here at 12. Even if I had to preach a 3-minute sermon. Amen. 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 Glory be to God. Amen. If you will, bow your heads with me. Father God, we come now to say thank you for yet again this opportunity to stand before your people. For surely I'm not worthy. Imperfect, but the word is perfect. So thank you for allowing me to stand here and speak on your behalf, not because I'm so good, but simply because you are so great. Thank you now for this opportunity. And I pray, Master, that this word that will be spoken today will find fertile ground, that it will build a strong, powerful root system
that will grow a powerful tree that can stand when the winds of life blow. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say, amen. 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 If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And we'll read that 11th verse. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 6, read as such. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Amen.
Amen.
Just for a few moments, I would like to deal with the subject, when God is in your house. Let me say that one more time. When God is in your house. My proposition to you is this. When God is in your house, his blessings will follow.
Amen.
I can close up right now, Reverend, and we can go home. I didn't say everything I needed to say. And for those of you who are really Christians, you understand what I'm saying, and you ought to already be giving God some praise. Because when he is in your house, the blessings will follow. My brothers and my sisters, we live now in a time where I'm finding something very shocking that's a truth. And this truth concerns me. It bothers me to my core. Because in this time of economic shrinkage, where companies charge you more but give you less, in this time where the government is taking away programs from the sick, and taking away programs from the elderly, taking away programs for the unprivileged so they can give more money to the rich. We have kids who are walking around with AK-47s, shooting people in midday and posting it on Facebook. Although all this evil is so prevalent in our society, there's a shrinkage that bothers me. And that shrinkage is not happening amongst non-believers. But that shrinkage is happening amongst believers. Believers are forgetting who should be in their house. Believers are forgetting that the presence of God is important in your house. And not only the presence of God is important in your house, but your honor of the presence of God should be important to you. I want you to know that some of us are so wrapped up in our work life, in our social life, in everything, that we're forgetting the most important thing. And that most important thing is making sure that God is in your house. Now, I don't want to beat up on you this morning, but I just want you to know it's important for us to realize the importance of God being the head of your house. You hear me? I didn't say your husband being the head of your house, and I didn't say your wife being the head of the house, but I said God being the head of your house. We're losing sight of some things, and I believe that's the reason why we're having so many problems amongst the people who call themselves to be believers, because we really don't know who to turn to. I remember as a little boy, I used to come in the house, and my mom had this dining room table, Reverend, where this big, beautiful Bible sat. And as a young boy with 8 siblings, all of us knew not to touch that Bible. Don't turn no pages. Don't put your hands on the Bible. Because although she was a single parent, she realized she didn't drive her household. She realized in order for her household to be blessed, that God had to be the head of her household. When God's in your house, you need to let him lead. Huh? That's a tough thing for some of us, because when you say let God lead, that means you have to give up your right. You have to give up your will. Because your right and your will don't make a difference when it comes to God's will. Your will, as the preacher prayed, ought to line up with God's will. When God's in your house, you have to understand that when he is in your house, he brings three things with him. He brings discipline. We like to talk about the blessing part, but we don't want to talk about the discipline. When God's in your house, he brings discipline. Now, he don't bring discipline to primarily punish you, but it's for to educate you, to correct you, to get you to look more like Christ. When God's in your house, you'll realize, you know, when people say that a husband and wife spend so much time together, they start looking like each other. When God's in your house, you ought to start looking like him. There should be some resemblance of you that favors God. Because when God's in your house, he's a strong leader. And also a merciful leader. And a kind-hearted lover. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. But when God's in your house, discipline is there. He uses this to shape you and to prepare you for his purpose. He uses rebuke and chastisement to get you right. As a matter of fact, the Bible said God chastens those whom he loves. So if he doesn't discipline you, that means God does not love you. So if God has not disciplined you and you know you stepped out of, then you ought to be concerned, because if you step out of line and you're a child of God, God will discipline you. He can't do it and be God. I shall say, he cannot do it and be God. Because he is God, he must discipline you when you step out of line. So when God's in your house, the first thing you will see is discipline. Here in this text, we find God disciplining David and Israel, because God gave them specific instructions. They desired to go and get the Ark of the Covenant. But when they went to get the Ark of the Covenant, they stepped outside of the order that God gave in Exodus chapter 22. You know how we do. Reverend, that's old school scripture, right? I ain't got to go by the old school scripture. I'm going to rewrite that scripture to make it fit what I wanted to fit. I wanted to do what I wanted to do versus God wanted to do what he needs for it to do and what he set out for it to do. And because of their disobedience, a man lost his life. And God says, when you carry my ark, you take poles and you slide those poles through the rings. As a matter of fact, you would have never moved those poles nor those rings, so they are already there. He said, but when you carry my ark, you take those poles and you put them on the shoulders of the Levites. And you carry my ark on the shoulders of the Levites. But David, being the progressive king that he is, he decided to do like what the Philistines did when they stole the ark. They got a brand new cart, attached it to an oxen and put it on the oxen. And as they went down the road and the oxen stumbled and the ark was about to fall off of the cart, Uzzah reached and put his hands on the ark to keep it from falling. Let me tell you something, children of God. God don't need your help. When you get to the place where you got to help God, you're stepping out of line. And when you step out of line, God has got to deal with you. So Uzzah lost his life because He symbolically, he got to a place where he was going to help God make a decision. Some of us in here are like that right now. We're trying to help God make decisions about your household versus allowing God to make the decision and you follow. You know how I know some of y'all doing it? I did it. I was guilty. Like I told you before, I'm an alpha male, so sometimes I don't ask God for permission. You know the old saying, go ahead and do it and take the punishment later. I'm going to tell you, sometime with God, you don't want that punishment. Here God is disciplining a nation because they were disobedient to the specific instructions he gave them. I'm telling you, children of God, when you are obedient to God and you listen to his specific instructions, even if it's not something that's a blessing for you but maybe a blessing for someone else, guess what you ought to do? You know, follow it to the T. Don't change nothing up. Because when you change up God's plan, that means you know more than God. And none of us know more than God. We ought to listen to what God is saying. He found out that it's unlawful to put your hand to God's ark. It wasn't even lawful for the Levites, who were God's anointed men set aside to deal with the ark, to touch the ark itself. There's some things that you ought not touch. Can I say that again, Reverend? There are some things, as a child of God, you ought not touch. Amen. Amen. God said, for you not to touch it. And if so, damnation will come unto you. So when God's in your house, discipline will be in your house. The next thing will be in your house when God is in your house is obedience. You'll find yourself being obedient. You'll find yourself doing those things that perhaps before you would not do. You'll find yourself lining up with the will of God, putting your will to the side. Because you realize that it is God who is the head of your life. Somebody ought to give God some praise on that one. The Bible shares with us that it's better to be obedient than it is to sacrifice. Amen. Let me help some of y'all. I'm going to exegete it just a little bit. What they're talking about is God would rather you listen to him and do what he asks you to do than for you to carry out a religious ritual. Some of us are so caught up in religious rituals, we can't hear what God is truly saying. So the Bible wants us to understand that it's better to be obedient than it is to sacrifice. Sometimes God don't want your religious ritual. And sometimes he needs you just to be obedient and follow what the Spirit is telling you to do. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all got quiet. I stuck on somebody's toe. Because some of y'all love religious rituals versus the Spirit of God. Religious rituals will not get you into heaven. Following the will of God will get you into heaven. Y'all didn't hear me. God says, follow my will versus your religious rituals. I know people that interpret that scripture a whole different way. But what I just gave you is actually what's in the text versus my own ideology. Sometimes people preach outside of the text and the contextual makeup of the sermon, or the text, shall I say, versus preaching the text. But God wants you to know that if he's in your house, you will be obedient because you will find yourself lining up with this will. And the last thing, when God is in your house, you'll be blessed. Somebody ought to be giving God some praise. The Bible shares with us in this text that when they were disobedient and realized they couldn't take the ark with them, they took it to a man's house by Noma, obeyed him, and said, we'll leave the ark there. And the Bible says it was there for 3 months. And the whole time it was there, Obed-Edom was being blessed. Obed-Edom's family was being blessed. Obed-Edom's friends were being blessed. Obed-Edom's neighbors were being blessed. The Bible says they were so blessed that the word got back to David. And David said, wait a minute. You telling me that we left our blessings in Obed-Edom's house? And Obed-Edom, they lined up with the will of God. And he's being blessed so tremendously that he traveled all the way to Jerusalem. And when they heard of it, they said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. We are God's chosen. As a matter of fact, David had chosen 30,000 men to go with him to get the ark. God ain't concerned with no numbers. Y'all missed that one. God's not concerned with numbers. What God is concerned with is if you are willing to do his will. If you're willing to do his will, the numbers will come. In other words, your blessings will come. Matthew 6:33 says it like this: seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. If you want to be blessed because God is in your house, seek him. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. I'm yelling to the top of my voice. Y'all don't hear me. If you want to be blessed, understand that when God is in your house, you have to honor him, reverence him. And before you can honor him and reverence him, let me tell you a secret. Take my glasses off when I tell you this. I'll give you this one for free. In order for God to come into your house, you got to let him in. In order for God to come into your house, you got to let him in. Y'all know I like to give personal examples. When I was dating the first lady, I wanted to get, you know, Reverend, I tried to be romantic. I created a CD, and I told her the specific song on this CD that she needed to listen to. She listened to it, and she's like, what does that mean? I said, if you don't let me love you, I can't. If you don't let God in, he will not force his way in. The Bible says that God will stand at your heart door knocking. And it's your job to accept him in. And the Bible said, if you accept him in, he and the Father will come in and sup with you. In other words, they will come in and give you everything that you need. Listen, when God's in your house, there is no lack in your house. It may be a little bit of trouble, but there is no lack. Because when you got God, you got everything. Everything that you need. Church, when the people realized they can go back and get the ark, the Bible says that as they went, Reverend, every time they took 6 steps, they stopped and praised God. Y'all hear me? It says all the way back to Jerusalem, every time they got to step number 6, they stopped and praised God. What I'm trying to tell you is when God's in your house, don't you take long to give him some praise. Every time you get an opportunity to give God praise. Because the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. So if you give God praise every time you take step number 6, God said he'll be with you. So when you get to 7, the power of God will be with you. Somebody ought to give God some praise in his house today. For when God's in your house, power is in your house. When God's in your house, everything you need is in your house. Love is in your house. Patience is in your house. Understanding is in your house. When you have God, you got everything that you need. Give God some praise. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there would be one, The time is now, and the Bible says, find God while he's near, for surely shall come a time where God cannot be found. Father God, we come down to say thank you, Master. We're so thankful for so many things. But today especially, we're thankful for the three souls, the four souls that came to you today. We pray, Master, as a church family, that we can cover them, strengthen them, lift them up, give them what they need so they can be better disciples in the kingdom of God. Now, Master, as we prepare to leave this place, we ask that you watch over us, protect us, and keep us until we can return back to this church where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let all hearts sing. Thank you.
the church.